Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. Coming to you from Tehran, I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Saudi Arabia is arming anti-government groups inside of Syria. Now, this is according to an Arab diplomat who says that because Riyadh is concerned with the spread of bloodshed in Syria, that the Saudis are smuggling in weapons via Jordan. Now, is it possible that Riyadh, a regime known for crushing human rights in its own country, as well as being involved in a brutal crackdown just across the causeway in Bahrain, can be concerned about the Syrian people? Or is there another reason that Saudi Arabia is involved in arming groups against the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad? Well, stay with us as we take a look at the latest on Syria.
Another deadly day in Damascus. Body parts scattered all around areas where bomb blasts hit security installations, killing both civilians and security forces alike. The familiar scene of violence from Syria, a country in which the world remains divided. Russia, China, and Iran oppose foreign intervention in Syria. On the other hand, the West and its Arab allies are calling for military intervention in the country. France has even called on Syria's Christians and Alawis to join anti-government groups trying to create religious divide in the country. Qatar and Saudi Arabia have also called for military action to topple the Syrian government. On Saturday, a senior Saudi diplomat told AFP that Riyadh is sending weapons and military equipment to anti-government groups in Syria. The diplomat says the equipment is on its way to Jordan. The announcement comes 2 days after Riyadh shut down its embassy in Syria and pulled out its diplomatic staff. Last week, Syrian Information Minister Adnan Mahmoud said Saudi Arabia and Qatar are backing armed terrorist gangs operating in the country. Mahmoud said those countries are accomplices to the terrorism targeting the Syrian people and bear responsibility for the bloodletting. Many blame Israel for the wave of deadly bombings that have rocked Damascus in recent months. The modus operandi of the attacks bears all the hallmarks of Israeli operations. However, many believe that had it not been for the massive media campaign by Qatari and Saudi television networks, Israel would not have been able to carry out such attacks. The same Arab channels that have ignored the revolutions in Bahrain and Yemen in order to advance their leaders' agenda in Syria.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from Beirut, professor at Lebanese International University, Mr. Jamal Wakim. And from Washington, professor of law, Georgetown University, Dawood Khairullah. And from Belfast, author and Middle East expert, Saab Shah. Thank you all for being with us. Well, I'd like to start this off in Beirut with Professor Wakim. Now, as the diplomat revealed this news on Saturday, Damascus witnessed more bombings, killing and injuring many people. Now, the main target was government security buildings and residential areas, which one would think should make it obvious in that it should not be the Syrian government that's behind them. So what exactly does it mean when it's said that the Saudis want to stop bloodshed, or are they supporting the bloodshed via violence?
Definitely, Saudi Arabia is implicated in the course of events in Syria. It's implicated in the attempts to topple the Syrian regime in order to achieve a major political objective, which is to wipe out a regime that is hostile to the American plans in the region and that is refusing to sever its ties and its relations with Iran, with Russia, and with China. Because Syria is playing the role of an obstacle towards blocking the advance, the Iranian advance towards the Mediterranean, as the Americans stated. That's the main point, and that's why the Saudis are active in attempting to topple the Syrian regime, along other countries, Arab countries like Qatar, like Jordan, Tunisia for now.
Okay, well, let me turn to Washington and get Professor Khalala in on this. Now, if Damascus has been behind the killing of its people, why would the Syrian people come out in mass in support of the government, as we've just seen a few days ago? Do you think that that would prove to those who perhaps up to this time didn't understand what was going on that the violence is being carried out by outside entities? Now, we have the Saudis saying basically that they're arming. We know about we have some reports about the Israelis, other Arab countries, and many of the Western countries. Your take, sir?
Well, actions like what happened, the explosions that happened this morning, are crimes by any standards. They are crimes by the laws of God and laws of man, crimes in a case of war, and in the case of peace, crimes in all circumstances. And anyone who justifies sending weapons to Syria is an accomplice, is suspect in this. And there is no way around it. And the outcome is that actions like this solidify the position of the government and make the Syrian people support such government regardless of how much they want reform. Because if the opposition is a sponsor of actions like this, who would want them to be in power? It is an absolutely stupid act from a strategic standpoint, and it's a criminal act from a legal standpoint.
Okay, well, turning to Mr. Shah, now, as Professor Khairullah has said about if the opposition is involved in these type of acts, let's look at that. Because if we look at revolutions, other revolutions that have taken place in the region are still in the process of taking place, we see that in none of these that were actual revolutions were the revolutionaries armed. Actually, they tried to stay away from the arms and try to use the peaceful process of people power to bring on the revolution. So do you think that that in itself would be another key factor to the reality of what's going on the ground? As Professor Khairullah has just said, what type of real opposition would be involved in killing its own people?
Yes, I agree with that point, to confirm that traditionally the Yemeni people are armed tribes and armed people. It's part of their even custom and clothing to have the Arabic jambiya, which is a big sort of knife around their waist. And those people, when they participated in the revolution in Yemen against Ali Saleh before, they refused to carry on their arms to the streets, and they kept it at home. The tribes in Yemen are armed, heavily armed as well. They could have used that, and in part, it's been trying to drag these, Ali Saleh tried to drag the tribes to fight so they can confuse the revolutionaries in Yemen, but they didn't. And the same thing we witnessed in Tunisia, the people refused to bring arms to the street or to bring arms in Egypt to the streets when they've been attacked by Mubarak or Scarfs. But at the same time, the counter-revolution, which is financed by Saudi Arabia, is working hard with the American think tanks of the CIA and that to keep the revolution diverted from its own target of helping the people and to make sure now the counter-revolution is appear as a revolution. In Syria, they couldn't, since there is surveys being carried out by a Qatari agent like the .gov poll, which was financed by Qatar. They found out there is 55% support, solid support for Assad, Bashar al-Assad himself in Syria. And that means you have over 55% of popular support for the president. If you think of it of a regime, you'll have 70%. So there is no mass support for these guys. And the opposition in Syria, they are most of it not involved in such a thing. And the Saudis and the Americans and their puppets as well in the area, when they witness that, the only way they see the scenario will work is the style they used in Iraq and they used before in Afghanistan as well, to bring chaos and fanatic people to start exploding and accusing the regime of this and that to cause havoc. By the time the fog of war settled, they could have achieved their target.
Okay.
But sincerely, I want to say, you know, one thing. Since when in the history of the Arab people they've seen the Saudis trying to arm any resistance? Have they ever tried to arm the Palestinian resistance against the Zionists? Have they ever stood by the Lebanese people in their war against the Zionists?
Okay, Mr. Sheth, let me turn to Beirut and get Professor Joaquin back in on this. As Mr. Sheth was talking about, as far as the history and when have anyone seen the Saudis supporting revolutionaries? Let's look at the opposite of that. With the scenario that is taking place in Syria, if it was something like that happening now in Bahrain, that outside entities was actually arming the revolutionaries on the ground, what type of reaction do you think that we would see from Riyadh, from Washington and others?
We already had a reaction by Riyadh without having an armed opposition in Bahrain when the Saudis intervened militarily in order to crack down on the peaceful protests in Bahrain because they feared that a successful revolution in Bahrain will encourage people in Saudi Arabia to rebel against the Saudi dynasty and to topple it. That's why they intervened in Bahrain against a peaceful demonstration or against peaceful demonstrators in order to crack down on their peaceful revolution that is calling for reforms and not calling for toppling the Al-Khalifa regime. We need to go back to the early days of the revolution in Bahrain. And people in Bahrain still, they are unarmed. They haven't directed any act of violence against their oppressors. And yet they are being faced by violence either by the Al-Khalifa regime or even by the Saudi troops who are stationed in Bahrain.
Well, let me just jump in here. I want to clarify the question. What type of reaction do you think that the Saudis would actually give if there were other entities that would arm the revolutionaries on the ground in Bahrain? What type of reaction then
would
we expect?
They will go to the United Nations. They will go to the United Nations because they are helpless to face any other power. They will go to the United Nations trying to get the backing of the United States to indict that state or that third power. So we need to be clear about the Saudis. The Saudis are playing a hypocrite game, a two-standards game, in which they support what they call a military opposition to the Syrian regime, which is, if it exists, it's a minority opposition to a regime that still enjoys a support of the majority of the population.
Okay.
And we didn't see a peaceful protest in the past few months. Maybe in the beginning of the protests in Syria, we had peaceful protests, but in the past 3 or 4 months, we only had military operations directed by military groups, by armed groups against the government.
All right,
so
let me turn to Washington. Let me get Professor Khairullah back in on this. Sorry, Mr. Joaquin. But Professor Khairullah, you mentioned that what is taking place, for example, like the bombings that have taken place, not only is against God's law, but all international laws. However, what does it mean when the international community seems to be in the hands of a few? We did not hear widespread condemnations of what has taken place. So what does international law mean if it is not implemented fairly across the board?
Well, as a student and teacher of international law, I'm ashamed to say that it is in very primitive stages in terms of war and peace, and in terms of the use of force internationally. Double standards prevail, and the law of the jungle prevails, and the abuse of the veto powers by 5 countries, and in particularly 1 country, the U.S., all this makes a mockery of the rules that are standard behavior that should be. But the Arab countries could take positions from the international law and the international law the way it should be and give respect to that law. Unfortunately, They are accomplices, and they help the U.S., the Israeli, and those who want to implement a distortion. And what is so reckless about positions like the ones who want to introduce arms into Syria, it's not only short-sighted, it's absolutely reckless. Do they think that this game cannot be played the other way around? But it seems that the Syrians and the nationalist forces in the Arab world seem to be acting as the mother of the child. Do you think that the Saudi society is immune to acts of terrorism like this, but they don't introduce it because they don't want to create havoc and a civil war across the Arab world? And this will be the dream of Israel. And there are people who are careful about this, and there are others who are absolutely reckless.
Okay, well, you've just mentioned Israel. Let me turn to Belfast. Mr. Schaff, do you see the Israelis playing a role in the situation that is taking place in Syria?
Absolutely. Since there was mentioned before, the Turkish, as a member of NATO, Turkey, have with Israel a long-standing joint military intelligence agreement, which is explicitly directed against Syria. Party to this, the hidden parts are Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. And these people are working since 1993 in a memorandum of understanding signed to create havoc and to spy in Syria and Iraq at the time. That's where their target. So we know they were working hand in hand. And there is, you have the Turkish confessions of 40 intelligence officers captured in Syria. They were saying how the Mossad was training them and giving them the targets what to hit in Syria. And they were actually involved with Al-Qaeda as well. Israelis, Turkish, and Al-Qaeda working together. And from bases in Jordan and inside Turkey and around Syria and in Lebanon. So these things is out there. And the confessions, is they told us a lot of the stories about what's going on. So it's for the interest of Israel to destroy the resisting camp, which is Syria is the cornerstone of in the Arabic world. By eliminating the regime in Syria and introducing the Saudis, Wahhabist sort of friendly regimes, they will guarantee the total control and domination of the Zionists and the United States of America in the region. Let's not forget who is the Saudis regime, which was built by the British and then inherited by the United States of America. This absolutist feudalist regime is part of the imperialist agenda and looting the resources of the area and destroying any movement to liberate itself from colonialism. From the 50s to the 60s, they participated in destroying the revolution movement in south of Yemen. And now, today, they are mingling in Yemen. They helped in destroying the Egyptian army in the 60s, so it was easy target for the Zionists and the American 1967 war. Saudi Arabia was supporting Jordan in destroying the Palestinian resistance in Jordan in 1970 and helped in targeting the Syrian army at the time, which tried to save the Palestinians. So Saudi Arabia have a huge history. We're not going to forget, suddenly it's a regime. It's a feudalist, absolutist regime created by the imperialists in the area.
Okay, well, let me turn to Beirut. Let me get Mr. Joaquin back in on this. So if we look at the parties that seem to be involved on the same side, we have Qatar, we have Saudi Arabia, we seem to have the United States, we have England, we have France, and reports now of Al-Qaeda and Israel. So is it that these entities are all working together? Do they have the same goal? And if so, can we assume then that these entities not only are working together in this situation in Syria, but perhaps in other parts of the world?
Definitely. There is a coalition of maritime forces that puts together the United States, the United States, Canada, Western Europe, all together with Turkey to face a coalition of land powers, mainly Russia, China, and Iran. Of course, Al-Qaeda and Israel on one hand is part of this coalition, and in addition to other Arab states, mainly Saudi Arabia, Tunisia for now, the Gulf GCC countries. But Al-Qaeda has always been an agent for American policies in the region. Even when it came to the 9/11 incident, it was used by the United States as a pretext to invade Afghanistan and later on to invade Iraq under the pretext of waging a war against terrorism. After that, Al-Qaeda had played an accessory role to the United States in Iraq in order to widespread terror among the Iraqi population that was trying to resist occupation under Abu Mus'ab al-Zarqawi, for example. Now that bin Laden is out of the picture, al-Zawahiri is one more time playing the role, being the leader of al-Qaeda, playing the role of the accessory to American policies in the region, especially at a time when we have an American policy tending towards assigning the task of controlling the region to an ally, which is the Sunni Islamist groups. This is what the Americans have in mind. And I believe that the Muslim brothers, either in Turkey or in Egypt, and even in Saudi Arabia, they are willing to play this role, an accessory to American politics in the region.
All right, let me turn to Professor Fayla Law. I think, Mr. Joaquin, what you meant were mostly the Salafi groups as opposed to the Sunni groups. So let me turn now to Professor Khairullah. Do you think that the UN envoy now, Kofi Annan, will be able to ensure peace in Syria? Now, President Bashar al-Assad said the first step to peace is actually disarming or stopping these armed groups from creating violence in the country. How do you see it, sir?
I think if Mr. Annan would behave in a morally autonomous way and put his knowledge of international law, of the United Nations Charter, and of justice, international justice simply, he is bound to see several area where the Syrian regime would be justified in using force against armed group. There is no government in the world that can tolerate another armed group playing havoc inside society, attacking and killing civilians, sabotaging the economy, and basically committing crimes left and right.
All right.
No,
well, thank you, Professor.
Regime, no government in the world could tolerate that.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Sorry, we are out of time. I'd like to thank all of my guests from Beirut, Professor Lebanese International University, Mr. Jamal Joaquin from Washington, Professor of Law, Georgetown University, Dawood Khairullah, and Belfast author and Middle East expert, Saeb Shaif. Thank you all for being with us. We appreciate you being with us. And thank you, viewers, for being with us. And join us here, same time, same place, on another news analysis tomorrow. Well, I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew here in Tehran. Thank you so much for being with us, and goodbye.